So the story is told of a pastor who was asked to conduct the funeral services of a fellow named Charlie, who was known in the community as the lowest of the low in terms of his character and reputation. So in fact, the town was embarrassed that this fellow had called that place home. So Charlie's brother was a rather wealthy fellow and offered the pastor $1,000 to conduct the funeral with one stipulation. He had to refer to Charlie as a saint. So the service began, and the pastor stepped to the ambo, like this one, to begin his homily. So at the appropriate moment, he said he was a low-down, worthless bum who cheated everyone he ever met and had the morals of an alley cat. But compared to his brother, Charlie was a saint. So the stunned brother handed over the money to the pastor, who promptly slipped away. Perhaps the pastor succumbed to temptation a bit. So we are now in the season of Lent. The word Lent, maybe for the German people familiar about German word, no? So the word Lent comes from a German word, Lens, meaning spring. So in an agricultural society, Lent is the time in the year when the winter stores are dwindling and it becomes time to tighten one's belt, as if in fasting, until the food stores can be renewed in the spring. So eventually, the word took on a special meaning that relates it to the Christian season. This is a time of purification and introspection, a period of 40 days in preparation for the celebration of new life brought to us at Easter. So the readings today speak about temptation. God gives his gifts, his blessings, for the purpose that we may use them with thanksgiving and not the way we may let them lie idle and thus tempt him. For he wishes it and forces us to fast by the Spirit or by a need which we cannot avoid. So in our first reading from the book of Genesis, we hear about our first parents, Adam and Eve, being tempted by Satan in the Garden of Eden. While in the Gospel, we hear about Satan tempting Jesus in the wilderness. These two temptation stories are sophisticated ones and are not strictly meant to be taken either literally or historically. They are symbolic and are directed essentially about making choices, either in favor of God or against him. In the second reading, St. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, considers and compares the above two temptation events and tells us in what manner the results and consequences affect our lives today. So the narrative of the temptations of Jesus resembles those of the people of Israel in the wilderness, and it is also our own struggle today. In the first temptation, the devil is telling lies to Adam and Eve, our first parents. If they would eat the forbidden fruit, the devil says, they would be equal to God. Sadly, Adam and Eve believed the lie told them by the devil. They ate the fruit, and their eyes were opened, and they realized they were naked. In other words, they see that their sin, not God, has stripped them of happiness, peace, and contentment. In the relationship they had with God prior to the devil tricking them with lies. So I like this analogy, you know, told about a young man who is pressured by his friends to take drugs. They tell him he will be much happier if he uses them. He believes them, and so he is enslaved by drugs. He lives a subhuman life as he becomes more dependent on drugs. It is hardly God who can be blamed for punishing him. So the devil tricked Adam and Eve by lying to them, saying that God wanted to deprive them of what would give them total happiness. Instead of trusting God and believing in him, they believed the devil's lie. So this then is the center of all temptation, not to believe God, not to trust God, to put ourselves at the center and decide without listening to God what we want to do with our lives. That is the choice we have. The same dynamic is at work in our gospel reading. The devil tries to trick Jesus. It is a temptation to take salt as the center instead of God. Jesus realized that he had great powers and he could have used them to go on a big ego trip. So led by the Spirit into wilderness, like the people of Israel, Jesus faced hunger. He could use his gifts like power and authority, just what the devil wanted him to do, and would satisfy himself. He could use these divine gifts to turn stones into bread, to jump down from the temple and receive all the kingdoms and their splendor promised by the devil. So imagine what power he would have had over the people who were expecting a political Messiah, one who would overthrow the Romans. But Jesus rejects all three temptations. He, like us in all things except sin, bears divine gifts, but they are for mission. He therefore instructs and admonishes us. He instructs us to believe and trust God. It is a call for us to believe God's promises, even if God's promises are not immediately present and fulfilled. Our faith calls us to trust that God is on our side. This is what we must cling to with the help of the Holy Spirit, especially in times of crisis and pain. God is with us, but the question is, are we with God? He admonishes us that we may, in the light of this example, also cheerfully suffer want and temptation for the service of God and the good of our neighbor, like he did for us, as often as necessity requires it. Be of good cheer. Jesus assures us in the Gospel of John, I have overcome the world. God was able to nourish Christ 40 days without any food, can also nourish us, his sons and daughters. So let us pray during this Lenten season that God may help us to believe and trust in his great desire to help us, especially when we are tempted.